in the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storms howl about me and there's no hiding place. In the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Oh, be fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan's whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the snow passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Oh, be fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the when the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may passes by, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Oh, be fast, let me stand in the
hello again, this is Gerald Finney. Welcome back to another broadcast of Church and State Law. Basically, that's what I deal with, church and state law. I am lead counsel and assistant director of the Biblical Law Center. The purpose of the Biblical Law Center is to help churches who want to structure themselves in a way that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the husband and the head of his church. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. Father, I pray that this radio program will serve to glorify you. Please guide and direct me now as I teach on these subjects involved with church and state law. I'll give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, I'm going to begin by talking about federal government control of churches through 501c3 tax exemption. After that, I will get into the incorporation 501c3 control scheme. This is a scheme to control churches, to keep them within the four walls of the church, and to limit what they can say and do. I want to start again with federal government control of churches through 501c3 tax exemption. In the 20th century, the federal government offered 501c3 tax exemption to churches and religious organizations. 501c3 status is unconstitutional in that it clearly violates the religion clause of the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, but churches have never challenged the constitutionality of the act as a whole. The United States Supreme Court would probably say that the act is not unconstitutional because it is neutral. It applies across the board to all religions. Nonetheless, a true reading of the First Amendment and an understanding of the First Amendment tells us that 501c3 is unconstitutional. I've already taught on the history of the First Amendment, the true meaning of the First Amendment. Furthermore, no civil government in America purports to require churches to get the 501c3 to incorporate or become a legal status in any manner. Why do churches do it? Because of ignorance of biblical principle and also ignorance of the law. A church can operate in America as a New Testament church completely out from under the control of civil government without persecution. Coach Dave Daubenmeyer says they do it because of fear, pride, and greed. I believe that is true of most pastors and churches. The IRS exerts a certain amount of control over an incorporated 501c3 quote-unquote church. A more appropriate term would be a 501c3 religious organization. As has been pointed out, Scripture makes clear that God wants no one else, especially the unregenerate, controlling, defining, and restricting His bride in any way. As I have said before, 501c3 refers to 26 United States Code, Section 501c3. 501c3 invites churches to seek a tax exemption from civil government, even though the First Amendment already has erected a high and impregnable wall of separation between church and state, which forbids civil government from making any law, including any taxing law, respecting a church. I'm not going to read all of Section 501. Let me just quote a little of it to begin with. An organization described in subsection C shall be exempt from taxation under this subtitle. Let me say this, and I'll get into it more later. A New Testament church is non-taxable anyway. Churches are not mentioned in 501c3. Again, I'm not reading it all, but you can take my word for it. If you don't believe me, get online and check it out. It does mention, among other things, corporations organized and operated exclusively for religious purposes. Even the federal government thereby recognizes that the basic character of a church that seeks and obtains 501c3 status has changed and that the church has become a tax-exempt religious organization. When a church incorporates, it becomes a corporation organized exclusively for religious purposes. The state controls, defines, and instructs a corporate 501c3 religious organization to a large degree. Control and definition go hand in hand. The federal government, not God, defines religious purposes as to an incorporated 501c3 church. Under IRS interpretation of 501c3, to qualify for tax-exempt status under 501c3, religious organizations must meet the following requirements, abide by the following rules. Number one, must be organized and operated exclusively for religious, educational, scientific, or other charitable purposes. Number two, net earnings must not inure to the benefit of any private individual or shareholder. Number three, no substantial part of its activity may be attempting to influence legislation. Number four, the organization may not intervene in political activity. And number five, the organization's purposes and activities may not be illegal or violate fundamental public policy. The first three of those rules that I just quoted are stated in 501c3. Number four is also stated in the code and was added by legislation sponsored by Lyndon Johnson in 1954. The last requirement, may not violate fundamental public policy, is not from legislative law. This requirement was made law by federal court in the Bob Jones University versus United States case, a United States Supreme Court case in 1983. Thus, additional rules for 501c3 churches can be and are made by the legislative and executive branches as well as by the judicial branch. In Bob Jones University, the United States Supreme Court affirmed the IRS policy denying tax-exempt status to private schools with racially discriminatory admissions policies because, according to the court, those policies violated clearly declared federal policy. I deal with that case more in my books, God Betrayed, and also my book, Separation of Church and State. Although Bob Jones University was limited to religious schools in that a church was not being attacked in that specific case, the same rationale that supported the court's conclusions can also be applied to 501c3 religious organizations, although more hurdles will have to be jumped, especially as regards a corporate 501c3 quote-unquote church. It is common knowledge that the IRS regularly attacks corporate 501c3 churches for infractions of requirements of IRS regulation. On the other hand, the rationale of the court does not apply to the New Testament church, which remains a spiritual entity protected by God and by the First Amendment. God wants members of His body, the church, to decide what is spiritual and what is not. If His body messes up, He will take care of it. The IRS requirements require instruction, definition, and control. The IRS determines, subject to costly and time-consuming court challenge, whether a restriction has been breached by a 501c3 religious organization. These restrictions subject a religious organization to civil suit for violating a federal government law. Fundamental public policy may be ruled by a secular court to be above biblical principle for the corporate 501c3 church. Certain public policies can, do, and will conflict with biblical principles. It is the responsibility of the church, not the state, to determine biblical principle as to the doctrines of the church. A 19th century Supreme Court wisely commented on this, and I have their comments in God Betrayed and Separation of Church and State. I'm not going to take time to read those here, but basically they just said it's not the business of the Supreme Court to decide what is contrary to public policy. This is a question, they said, of great vagueness and uncertainty. New Testament churches under God, spiritual entities with no income and which hold no property, are non-taxable. 501c3 religious organizations under civil government are tax exempt. New Testament churches are non-taxable, and the First Amendment, which requires this biblical principle, is codified in 26 United States Code, Section 508, IRS Code, Section 508. I'm going to read the relevant portions of Section 508. Quote, special rules with respect to Section 501c3 organizations. New organizations must notify the secretary that they are applying for recognition of Section 501c3 status. Subsection C is called exceptions. Subsection C1 says as follows. Mandatory exceptions. Subsections A and B shall not apply to churches, their integrated auxiliaries, and conventions or associations of churches. In other words, the code itself recognizing the First Amendment says that churches do not have to notify the IRS. In other words, Section 508 says churches are excepted from obtaining Section 501c3 tax-exempt status. In other words, churches are non-taxable, and therefore churches are an exception to the civil government requirement that certain organizations file for 501c3 tax-exempt status. Thus, even the federal government recognizes that a New Testament church is non-taxable. Well, it's almost break time again. If you're enjoying this show and value the information you're hearing, please go to www.lwrn.net and make a donation. The more donations received, the faster we can spread across these United States with the message of freedom. Also, remember, you can get many resources on the issues that I'm talking about on churchandstatelaw.com. I'll continue talking about the 501c3 after the break.